Do you ever think to yourself, man, I'm glad I've got all this music, but there's something missing. I'm looking for something more. Well, if that something more is new and used vinyl, new and used CDs, vintage equipment, new equipment, incense, memorabilia, posters, DVDs, comics, etc., then, sir or ma'am, change that GPS from the rickety stool and rope store and get down to 1200 Small House Road to Mellow Matt's Music and More. You can have your music and more at Mellow Matt's Music and More, this week's sponsor.
You're listening to The Sound Atlas by Russell Brooks.
D93.
Tom Starr.
Yeah.
If there ain't no way in a anybody in a suit could have anything on you, buddy.
Well, aren't you nice? Thank you.
You just about the closest thing as we got to royalty around here, buddy.
D93.
Hey, yes, may I speak with the manager?
One moment, please. Yes, may I help you?
Is this the manager?
Yes, it is. Can I help you?
Do I sound country?
We're Bowling Green's classic rock.
We're just old hippies and don't know what to do.
Y'all go have fun now.
D93.
All right, and I'm sitting here with Tommy Starr. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. I guess we're going to start with, where were you born?
I was born in a hospital on an Air Force base in Peru, Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you grow up in Indiana?
No, I was only there for maybe 2 months, and then my dad was transferred to South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in South Carolina?
I lived there for a little while.
Okay.
And then we moved back to Bowling Green, where my mom and dad are both originally from. And then we lived here for a while. My dad got out of the military. And then he got back in the military. And we moved to Blytheville, Arkansas. So I've lived everywhere. Lived
right.
in Guam, lived in Little Rock. But I've lived in Bowling Green most of my life.
Okay. The first song you remember from your youth would have been something maybe your parents were playing or something on the radio, TV?
Probably or? Elvis, something by Elvis. My dad was a big Elvis fan, so it was probably Elvis or The Ventures.
Okay.
Yeah, and I still love, Elvis is my all-time favorite still today. So I would say Elvis, yeah.
Now, in your family, did anybody play music or were they just into music or...
I think really that, my dad was really into music. The rest of my family were just kind of like music's in the background.
Right.
Yeah. Most people, music's either in the background of your life or it's in the fore. For them, mostly in the background, except for my dad, which nobody played any instruments, but my dad was really into Elvis and Ventures and, like I said, stuff like that, 50s music.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when would have been the first time that you, well... I guess I'll just ask you, how would you explain how you got into radio?
I got into radio because there was a TV show that most people either remember or they've heard of, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching that show and seeing Dr. Johnny Fever and thinking, you know, this guy gets paid to play music, wear whatever the hell he wants to. He's kind of his own boss.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's girls around. So I thought, that's all right. That's all right. I like that.
Right.
So that kind of was an idea that was in the back of my mind while I was still thinking that I might possibly go into the military. But I'd been around the military so long, I think eventually the radio won out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the choice you made between military and radio?
Well, I mean, of course, military, I love the military, but, absolutely. I mean, there's sometimes I think that would have been kind of cool to go in the military for a while because, I mean, you can go in at a young age and retire at a young age
mm-hmm.
and still do two or three other things. But I've just had so much fun in radio. I can't imagine having as much fun in the military.
Right. What's your first radio gig?
First radio gig, I started up at Western at the college station up there. When I moved back to Bowling Green in the late 80s, I discovered they had a broadcasting program up there. And then I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that radio thing kind of oop in the back of my mind. And so worked for the college station, WWHR.
Okay.
Yep.
Were you going to Western as well or just?
No, I was a student.
Okay.
And got into that program, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you graduate with a broadcasting degree?
Yeah, well, I've been to Western twice, broadcasting, and then I went back with an art, but I didn't finish that one.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of a thing I thought, well, maybe I'll branch off from radio and maybe get into graphic design, because I've always been into art, even when I was little. But it just didn't work out.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I actually went to Western for broadcast communications. Oh. Did not graduate.
Yeah.
But my original plan was to be a DJ. And, well, at least at that time, for, as far as Western goes, but then actually went back later for graphic design.
Yeah.
Did not
How
graduate.
Weird
Didn't graduate
is that,
then
man?
Either. But yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like to start things and not finish them.
Well, you know, you never know what you... Sometimes you eat and take a bite out of a burrito, it's not good. I'm not finishing it. You know, that's how it goes. We all do that a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
What, next radio gig outside of Western?
Western, when I got through there at Western...
Or did you immediately take another radio gig? Did you do something else?
No, I've been pretty much consistently in radio. There was just a brief moment, but I guess we'll get to that. Western, and then after Western, at that time there were no rock stations in town. For a minute, for a few years, there were no rock stations in Bowling Green, because D98 at the time, it's D93 now, but it was D98 at the time, they switched over to country. They kind of chased that for a while.
Right. Now, is this early 90s?
This is, early 90s.
Okay.
Well, about mid-90s, I guess, something like mid to late 90s. And, so I was like, man, I gotta find something. So I ended up going to G107, which is an adult contemporary station. And I said, I'll do anything, but don't put me on the air, because I'm not playing Mariah Carey, because I'm a rock DJ.
Right.
And so I just kind of did stuff in the background for a few years. And then eventually I found a station in Memphis and went down there and just kind of hassled them until they finally hired me.
And what station was that?
That was MFS, WMFS, 92.9 MFS in Memphis.
And you're rock DJing there.
I was rock DJing, yeah.
What year would this have been?
That was late 90s, early 2000. And what happened was, I was married at the time, and we had an anniversary. And so, you know, when anniversary comes around, you usually do something kind of special. So we were like, well, last year we went to the Blue Ridge Mountains, I believe. So this year, let's go to Memphis for like a long weekend. So we were down there, and of course, being in radio, you got to check the dial wherever you go.
Right.
Then there was a station down there that was playing what was new, but they were also playing little, you know, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, kind of mixing it up.
Right.
And they were perfect. I was like, this is the station I need to work at. And so, you know, when we got back home, I started thinking. And then one day I said, here's what we're doing. We're going to work our asses off, make a ton of money, and then we're going to move to Memphis, and I'm going to hassle them until they hire me. And that's exactly what we did. So when we got down there, I stayed on them for 2 or 3 months, and then one day they called me up and said, okay, look, Memphis in May is coming up. We need somebody to watch the board, run remotes, and blah, blah, blah. Can you do that? I'm your man. Okay, you're on part-time. And then with about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, I was full-time. So boom. Yeah, so you just stay on it, man. Chase your dream, baby. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
How long did you work there?
I was there for like 2.5, 3 years. Got into it with a program manager one day. It was weird. Everything kind of hit all at the same time. Program manager didn't want to give me time off to go to Europe. I had the time available, but he didn't want to give me the time off. And it was a great opportunity. I had an opportunity to go to Europe for like half what it would usually cost. And that was going on, so he was giving me shit about that. I guess we can say shit. Can we say shit?
You can say that all day.
We can say shit? Okay. Yeah. So he was giving me, you know, shit about that, and he thought, you know, I'm going to buckle. He's like, hey, his plans are going to go out of his mind. He's going to stay here. Well, no, that's not what happened. I went to Europe. So that happened, and then I was also getting calls from Brian Locke at D93 because they'd changed back to rock. And he was like, dude, we're rock again. I'm over here. I need you. And at the same time, my marriage was going belly up, all at the same time. So there was something happening in the skies. Everything was lining up. And so I came back, I guess it was early 2002, something like that. And I've been over at D93 ever since. Yeah. There's more than you ask, I think.
That's good. So you come back to Bowling Green, and you've been doing it for a while. Uh-huh. What incarnations of shows have you changed the name much of your any shows? And there's like Home Cooking.
Well, I mean,
stuff.
The glass that I gave you has got all the shows listed on the back except one. I left American Nightmare Radio off, and I'm so sad about that. But
actually, never mind. This
it's all right.
Tell me about Crank It with Tommy Starr.
Crank It was my first. Actually, Crank It, as far as I know, is the first all hard rock heavy metal programming in South Central Kentucky. And the way it goes, I don't know how far you got in your program up at Western, but when they actually put you on the air, you have a semester, what they call rotation, where you're just playing whatever they want you to play, you know. And then the next semester, you get to do your own show, specialty show. So I was like, okay, I want to do a metal show because I like hard rock quite a bit. And so I was listening to a Lita Ford album, and before one of her songs, she says, crank it. And I thought, crank it with Tommy Starr. That's it.
Right.
And so I did that for a semester, and every semester we just changed the name of the show.
Gotcha. Inside the Electric Circus.
That's the name of a Wasp album. I can tell where all the titles all come from songs or something. That was just basically the same thing, just we changed the name to the next semester.
The Murderous Metal Road Show.
That's the name of a band called Lizzie Borden. They've got a live album called that, and so we did that for a semester, yeah.
Damage Incorporated with Eddie Rush.
That was when I was done. I was done. That's up at Western.
Are you already? Okay.
But this guy that I'd become buddies with, he used to call the show and all that kind of stuff. He came up, hung around a couple of times. And he was also on the same program. And so I said, all right, let this guy do the metal show now since he's into it. And so he called it Damage Incorporated. But he started calling me up saying, hey, man, why don't you come hang out? And next thing you know, I'm the co-host. So I was the co-host for a semester. Yeah.
And then in Memphis, you got Locals Only.
Locals
Is
Only.
That just local musicians from Memphis at the time?
And that's where everything kicked with local music is when I was down in Memphis. Because when I was here in the 90s, I went to a few local shows. But, I mean, it wasn't really a big thing for me. I mean, I saw Government Cheese once, and I saw 15 Strings at Picasso's one night. My friend Joe Parker's like, dude, you got to come see 15 Strings. You'll love them. And I saw them, and I loved them.
Right.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
But that was about it. It was just, you know, occasionally I'd pop up at a club. But then when I got to Memphis, there was a band called Saliva that was just happening. They didn't have a record deal yet, but we were playing them at the station there, MFS, I was working at. So I started thinking, how cool is it to be involved with a band from the very beginning?
Right.
To kind of see as it goes. And there were a couple other bands, Dust for Life. I think they released one album on Wind Up Records, same label that Creed was on. And then there was a band called Breaking Point that kind of did something but fizzled out. But Saliva kind of took off.
Right. Yeah, I remember Saliva.
Yeah. And so that got the local music bug going right there. Yeah.
And then my personal, I was going to say personal favorite name, but maybe not. I just saw something else. Aquanet Theater.
Aquanet Theater, that's basically 80s hair band kind of stuff.
It's a great name for it.
Yeah, I'm actually doing that show again. I did that in Memphis, but I do that here in Bowling Green too. That's basically 4:15 every day. I play, you know, Motley Crue, Poison, Cinderella. Sometimes I go deep with stuff that, you know, only real hair metal fans would like I don't know, like Rocks Gang or some, you know, bands like that most people don't really listen to, yeah.
This question is out of the blue, but it's kind of for David Downing, and I'm sure you'll know. Who sang Smooth Up In Ya?
That's the Bullet Boys. Yeah, that's Mark and the Bullet Boys. They got a new album coming out here in a few weeks, yeah.
Good. All right, then we got Blasting Fast and Loud.
Yeah, that's a line from a Twisted Sister song called You Can't Stop Rock and Roll. And when I came back up here from Memphis, one of the deals was, I was like, yeah, I work with you guys. I'd love to work at this station, but I want to do my own local show, and I want to do another metal show. And so I did Home Cooking. Home Cooking actually was a show that Brian Locke did back in the late 80s, did it for about a year and a half. So when I was trying to think of something to call the local show, he goes, why don't you just call it Home Cooking? I was like, yeah, but instead of Home Cooking, it'll be Home Cooking with Tommy Starr. So there's some type of, you know,
separation there.
Yeah. So that's how that got going.
Who was the first guest on Home Cooking?
First guest on Home Cooking, I've got all this stuff. I have the audio from everything. That's hard to say. It could be Tommy Womack. It could be Floored.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Because I remember the night that I did the very first Home Cooking, the Floored guys were calling me and like, dude, we're on our way down there. We're bringing you a CD. And they literally ran up the stairs and were handing me the CD about 5 minutes before I went on the air. Right. So I don't remember if they actually popped on with me then. I mean, I've got it all at the house. I just don't recall. Right. But I can tell you the first song I played on Home Cooking.
Okay.
That was Jason and the Scorchers, Greetings from Nashville. Okay. And of course, they're not a Bowling Green band, but part of my stipulation is either you're from this area, South Central Kentucky, or you play this area.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, they've played this area a lot. And for some reason, that's the song I picked. That's the first song they ever played on Home Cooking. Yeah.
Who was your favorite guest to have on, or who is yours? You still do.
Well,
Home
Cooking doesn't really exist anymore. Bands are still, I mean, the afternoon is open. Anyone's welcome to pop in and plug a show, play a song, whatever. I'll never turn my back on local musicians. But it just got to a point to where it seems like they were, what I thought, slacking off a little bit.
Right.
Bands used to work harder to promote themselves, and I don't think they really do that now. They put stuff out, and then they put it on the internet. Well, the internet's great. It's a tool, but it's one of many tools.
Right.
And they backed off radio a little bit, which I thought was odd. I'm like, I can push a button, and there's 10,000 people listening to your song right now. You know, there's not 10,000 people listening to your song on the internet right now.
Right.
So it doesn't really make sense to me. But so I kind of backed off Home Cooking. I thought, I'm not going to do a dedicated show anymore. I'll just be here if they want me.
If they want, right.
Yeah.
So who was your favorite?
Going back to that question, my favorite, that's hard to say. Slander was a favorite. Blackstone Cherry was a favorite. Those two, I would say those two somewhere in there.
What do you think the best Home Cooking show was? The most fun you had on Home Cooking?
Oh, man, we did. I mean, I did that show. I did 10 years of a two-hour show on Sunday and 5 years of a segment every Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just quit doing it like a year ago. Geez, that's hard to say. My favorite Home Cooking. I don't know, man. That's hard. Because, I mean, there's a lot of them that stand out that are monumental. Like the first time Perfect Confusion or Cage the Elephant. I'm the first person that ever played those guys ever.
Right.
First time they were ever on the radio. First time they ever played. First time Blackstone Cherry was ever on the radio as a group. They were on Home Cooking. I was up there one Friday night, and John Fred from Blackstone Cherry showed up with Richard from the Headhunters. They just came from the studio with a mix of their independent release. I was the first person to play them on the radio. So those are kind of my favorites, probably.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff like that. Morning Teleportation. I was the first person to play Sleeper Agent. You know, those are probably the favorites because that was the very first step into what came later for those bands. Yeah. And not just the bands that went on to, like, get a record deal and all that, but it's just cool to have somebody on for the first time. They're all nervous and jittery.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not sure if you're going to dig this, man. Mm-hmm. And then you play it, and usually it's pretty damn good.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the, and it doesn't have to be in Home Cooking, what's the worst time you ever had on the radio?
Probably right at first, when I first started doing radio, because I was nervous as shit, dude. There were two guys that were like a year ahead of me up at Western. I can't remember the names. They were twins. And when you first started doing your first shifts on the air, there were certain ones that would kind of be with you. Like, well, Bob, you're going to be with Tommy, and Sue, you're going to be with, you know, they would kind of watch you and hang out with you during your shift. Probably the first time I was ever on the air was probably the worst, because I remember sweat running down my back. I was so fucking nervous. Right. You can say fucking, right?
Sure.
Okay. Because, I mean, I was just like petrified. Because, you know, when you hit that button, man, there's tons of people listening to you.
Right.
But, I mean, that dies
it's
off.
It's intimidating at first.
At
sure.
first. But, I mean, you know, that I got past that real quick. And then it was just like, eh, you know, maybe they're listening, maybe not. But they're listening. They're listening. They're out there.
Let me ask you this. What song do you think, throughout the entire time that you have been a DJ, have you played the most? Most spins.
Well,
what's
you know,
the song you've just wore out, whether you wanted to or someone requested it? What do you think's the one you're like, all right, fine, or you're happy to play it?
I can tell you songs that people request, and I dodge it like a bullet.
Okay.
Stairway to Heaven. I don't play that damn song. Kiss Rock and Roll All Night. Beth. Uh-uh. Sometimes I'll play Beth and then do a scratch sound effect and go into something better. There's a couple of songs that as a group over there we've edited.
Uh-huh.
Like Copperhead Road. Our version is about 47 seconds long. It's basically the intro and the outro. And then Layla, we've cut that down to about a minute, 17 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, a Freebird. I mean, I play Freebird, you know.
Sure.
But, I mean, you just get really burnt out on that stuff. And you're like, look, man, I appreciate the fact that you dig that tune, but don't you own that by now? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah. Let's play something by Skinner, but maybe go a little deeper.
Right.
Yeah.
What's a song that you play 100% for you?
Oh, there's a lot of songs like that. The cool thing, and I'm not doing a commercial for D93, but the cool thing is that those guys give you some freedom over there. Right. I mean, we play a lot of the same stuff that classic rock plays, but we also play a lot of stuff that classic rock doesn't even think about. I mean, I play a lot of deep cuts from Kiss because I'm a big Kiss fan. Sometimes on Fridays, we have a thing called Free For All Friday where we literally can play whatever. Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, you name it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that. Not specifically one song, but just the fact that I'm able to play a bigger variety.
Variety of it. Yeah.
And newer stuff. Like, I like Rival Sons a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I've been playing them. I probably was one of the first people to play them. Well, I know I was the first person to play them around here. Because I was playing them before their first full-length album was out. And Blackberry Smoke, I was probably the third person in the world to play them. I was playing them back in 2003.
Right.
Bought their CD at one of their shows in Owensboro. They had a little card table set up, and they were selling their merch, and I loved them. Yeah. So I bought the CD, had them all signed, and I was like, I'm playing this. Because I was doing Saturday night shows. I said, I'm going to start playing this. And Saturday night, 2 days later, I was playing them. Yeah. So it's cool that I can go and I can see something and I can dig it. And then if I want to, I can play it on my show. Right. Yeah. So I like that. That's what's cool to me.
You're the great introducer.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I mean, it's just.
But you know what I mean? You're in a way, you're going out and you're basically doing research, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you're coming back going, I looked at all of this. Yeah. This is what I found to be the best thing I saw recently.
So far. That's
get
right.
Get it out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's your favorite band of all time?
Oh, boy. I like so many bands. My favorite all time, as I mentioned earlier, Elvis. Elvis is top of the top of the top of the
all
top.
All time.
Elvis. All time.
Okay.
Nothing touches Elvis. I like Kiss a lot. I like Black Oak Arkansas. I like Frank Marino Mahogany Rush. A lot of bands that most people either have never heard of or aren't into. Newer stuff. I like Rival Sons. I like the Dead Daisies. I like Blackberry Smoke, you know.
Most overrated band.
The Beatles. The Beatles. They got some great songs, but my God, man. You ask somebody, what's your top so many bands? They always say the Beatles. I'm like, yeah, I know they got some great songs, but really, the Beatles? Are you sure you're not just saying that because everybody else says that?
I'm sure you're in slim company, or at least I feel like I am, but I'm actually not a huge Beatles fan at all.
Well, I mean, they're talented. You know, they were talented as hell, and they had some great songs. But
yeah, it just doesn't resonate with me personally.
I like stuff that really kicks it in. You know, I like, oh shit, there's a fire. Yeah, that song does that, huh? Like, whoa, I went to a concert and lost an eyebrow. Yeah, what about that? Wasn't that cool? You know, yeah, that's right. I like. You know, I like to experience life. Right. Every once in a while, Beatles are okay, but I don't own a single Beatles record. The only thing I own by them is a promotional CD that I got from somewhere. I think it was a promotional thing for their Live at BBC they released years ago. That's the only thing I own by the Beatles.
Most underrated band.
Shoo, gosh, most underrated band. Frank Marino, Mahogany Rush. Most people don't even know who that is, but Marino is an amazing guitar player. I mean, he doesn't really do anything anymore. He, like, works on computers up in Canada now. He's, like, 60 years old. They were around... Well, Pat Travers is another underrated. Pat Travers, big guitar player. And he was one of those that kind of got right... He was right there, and then he's gone.
Right.
He didn't quite make it over the ridge there. And if you know Pat Travers, everybody knows Boom Boom Out Go the Lights. Well, yeah, he's got that song, but he's got about 400 or 500 more. So I would say Pat Travers, Frank Marino... Cool thing is, yesterday I was watching an interview with Zakk Wylde, and he mentioned Frank Marino. Said I would. This kid was one of those little punk people interviews that the kids do. They interview rock stars,
mm-hmm.
And the kid asked him, you know, what would you give to everyone or do for everyone if you could? And he said, get them to check out Frank Marino. And I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Guitar players, if you don't know Frank Marino, you look that dude up. He'll melt your brain. It's good stuff. Yeah.
Did you ever play any Frank Marino on the show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I play the hell out of Frank Marino. My favorite album of all time ever is Frank Marino Mahogany Rush, their What's Next album. Yeah. And it's just him just killing it on a Gibson SG for, 35, 40 minutes. It's amazing. Yeah, it's good shit. Yeah.
How do you prefer to listen to music? In other words, what medium?
Probably records or CDs. I mean, I listen, I have downloads. The way the music business works now, a lot of times when we get new music, it comes as a download. So like last week I got a download of the new Judas Priest album. So I don't own a hard copy of that. I was listening to it last night because, it's a file. I got it on a thumb drive. Yeah. So I listened to it all, the different ways it's delivered. But I would say probably record that's probably my favorite. Every once in a while, the little pops, kind of nice.
Right.
It's kind of nice and warm. I dig it. Yeah.
My stance on it is always, whatever was the main form of media at the time. So if the album came out when the most popular way to put music out was vinyl, then I want it on vinyl.
Yeah.
But I don't want, so-and-so's new album that came out in 2018 on vinyl.
Yeah.
Because it's, why?
Yeah.
Not made for that.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit nostalgic, nostalgic about like older stuff. Yeah. But
you're like, whatever is the standard at that time, that's the way you want it.
Yeah, because it was mixed for that.
Sure. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I get that.
Because, especially with MP3s and stuff like that, you actually should mix stuff quite a bit differently now because people are listening on their phones or on headphones, and it's not the big sound systems that it used to be at home.
Yeah.
In homes. So it changes quite a bit.
But I like it loud. And usually a record, and sometimes a CD, but a record, just a nice loud on a good stereo. Sounds great.
What advice do you give, or would you give, if you could go back in time to young Tommy, to do differently as far as your career?
Tighten it up a little bit. I would start a little bit earlier because there was a gap there, some years where I kind of half-assed it a little bit. So I would say probably just tighten it up a little bit. Because, this year is my 25th year in radio, but it could be like my 30th year in radio if I'd have tightened it up a little bit.
Right.
A couple of years there where I was dicking around. I was I had a girlfriend. You know how it is when you got your first solid, real girlfriend. You're just spending so much time doing other things. Of course, those other things are a lot of fun. But I was like, man, if I just could have tightened it up a little bit. But no regrets. Just saying that's probably the advice I would have given myself. Maybe do better in high school.
Do better in high school.
Recently, my mom left. She called me up one day. Said, I left an envelope at your front door. I was like, okay. I was like, oh, shit, what's this going to be? I got home, and it's all like my old report cards. She's been going through stuff.
Right.
And I was looking at those going, damn, dude, I knew I wasn't like a great student, but what the hell? Yeah, I was not great. I didn't flunk or nothing, but it was like, shit, what happened here, man? What was going on? So I don't know, maybe tighten up a little bit, kind of get it together just a little bit better.
I got you.
Yeah.
And inquiring minds want to know.
Okay.
And you may not be willing to say.
Uh-huh.
What is your full name?
Ooh.
Who says Thomas Starrington, and you've just shortened it for radio.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right. But my dad, I'm actually a junior, but I don't use the junior. So Thomas Starrington Jr.
Yeah. Let me try to blatantly trick you. What is your dad's name?
My dad's name, Senior. Thomas Starrington Senior. Yeah.
What's your mother's name?
Sheila. Her last name Warfield. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah. But who's to say Tommy Starr is not my real name?
No one.
I can tell you where Tommy Starr came from.
Okay.
All my life, as long as I can remember, and when I was going through that stuff that my mom left me, it was right there on some of the papers, like school papers I'd signed. I always put a star at the end of my name. And so when I got into this in the early 90s, I was living with my grandmother when I first moved back to Bowling Green to go to college. When I first got into radio, I said, you know, I got to come up with some kind of name. And she goes, why don't you call yourself Tommy Starr? And I was like, why Tommy Starr? She goes, well, because you always put that little star at the end of your name when you sign your name. And I was like, oh. And being a big Black Oak, Arkansas fan, at one time they had a backup singer named Ruby Starr, two R's. So I thought, Tommy Starr, two R's. So that's how Tommy Starr was born in 1993. My grandmother came up with that.
Who are you into as far as recent bands, local?
Well, I like Black Gold a lot. That's a newer band that's been around for a couple of years. Well, maybe a year and a half. It's a couple of guys. It was a three-piece at one time. They lost a member. They're going at it as a two-piece. I like Black Gold a lot. I would like to hear some new stuff from Full Frontal Source. I know they've got some new stuff going, but it seems like I skipped over something. So I'm kind of anxious to hear what I missed, and I understand they're working on some new stuff recently with a gentleman named Jason, used to be with Superfuzz. So I would like to hear that. I mean, I'm always interested in what's going on, you know, whether it's new or some of the older bands that are still kind of kicking around.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, doors open, baby. You know, come on, see me. We'll spin a track. Yeah.
And respect you.
Eric Curtis just yesterday emailed me something new he's working on. So when I
Oh, really?
It, yeah. So good. I haven't heard it yet because he sent me the message like as I was leaving yesterday. So I thought, well, I'll wait till I get back to work tomorrow and open it there in production and check it out, blast it in the studio. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got. Yeah.
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 I'm a big fan of your Fifth Street spots.
Fifth Street? Yeah. We love those guys.
Well, I like eating it. I'm not making fun of it. I like to eat at Fifth Street.
Yeah, those guys are great. We love those guys down there, Elise and her gang. You know, that's another part of radio is production.
Right.
Sometimes you write a little copy. Sometimes copy's written for you. Sometimes they go, read this.
Yep.
And you read it, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm trying to make that meatloaf sound good.
You do. Yeah,
good. You See, do. I'm doing my job.
You do.
They got good eats down there.
I think they should, Fifth Street should give you a little extra on the side, money-wise, for making it sound so good.
Well, you know.
Maybe some free meatloaf. Maybe some free food. Do you get free food? You get the hookup for doing ads? What's the best, like, because of your profession, what's the coolest free thing you've gotten? Would it have been tickets to something, or was it a...
Dude, I got to tell you, just the lifestyle. I mean, getting to go the places I get to go, getting to hang with the people I get to hang with. I mean, I've had some really interesting meetups, some really interesting conversations. I mean, just people you're like, really? Like, yeah, man, that shit's really happened. I met some great people, you know. As far as famous people, I met some really cool famous people. There's really only one that was just kind of and it was really not that big of a deal. So I would say just, you know, getting to go to free concerts, get to hang out, get to go places most people don't get to go, see things, a lot of big events that come up, whether it's has to do with radio or other. Like, I'm a big airplane fan. I love vintage aircraft. I go on a lot of flights on, like, vintage bombers and stuff. So they have a lot of events that if you're media, you can get in. Like, I've flown with the Blue Angels.
Right.
You can't go fly with the Blue Angels, but they have media day. So you can, you know, hey, I want to do this. They're like, okay, we're going to hook you up, blah, blah, blah. So I've been up with them a couple of times. And so stuff like that is that's the best thing, yeah, is all the fringe benefits. You know? And I was talking to somebody about that the other day, and I was like, man, every job has fringe benefits. If you work at the library, probably you don't pay a late fee.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Chances are.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, this just happens to be what came with mine. So, yeah, I'd say the fringe benefits are the best.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you plan ahead before you go on?
Never.
Like, no?
Sometimes I'll have a song or two in my mind. Like, I'll see something on TV, or I'll move some boxes at the house and see a record or whatever, and then I'll go, oh, yeah, man, I want to play that song. And so that'll kind of be in my mind, and I might play it later that day. That happened recently. I'm sure you've heard of L.A. Guns.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 years ago, the guy, Steel Panther. You've heard of Steel Panther, right?
Heard, no. Okay. Not super
Steel Panther's just, they're nutty, crazy guys. They're a lot of fun. But they kind of do shtick on 80s hair metal.
Okay.
But they're good. I mean, they're good musicians. The guy that sings with them now is with LA Guns for like 5 minutes. And they did a version of Cold Gin by Kiss. And I ran across it. Oh, I forgot about that song.
Right.
So like the next day I played it. So, you know, there's stuff like that. But no, planning ahead, I don't do that. Right. It's no fun. Spontaneous is where it's at. Plus, you know, we have a lot of requests, a lot of call-ins. So, you know, a lot of that depends on them, what they want to hear. Somebody will call and say, man, can you play some Alice Cooper? They don't specify what track. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to play, you know, da-da-da-da-da, because those get played all the time. I'm going to go over here and play this. And then I'm going to back it up with this other track. You know, so the audience kind of helps build the show, which I love that. The audience is great, man.
Right.
Yeah. That's another thing. I dig the listeners. The listeners are really cool. They're super nice. You run into them here and there. They have nice things to say, comments, constructive criticism. So fringe benefits and listeners.
And listeners.
We love you, listeners.
And I'm familiar with it, but I would guess oftentimes your listeners probably wouldn't be. When a song's playing, what are you doing?
I'm getting ready for the next song. I'm answering a phone. I'm editing a phone call. I'm looking for, like I just mentioned, Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper's playing. I'm looking for that other CD that's got that other song that I want. I'm queuing it up. I'm maybe finding something to bump out of the song that's playing into this next song. I mean, there's stuff going on. I mean, there are moments where it's kind of eh, but not. It depends on how you do your shift. Radio now, most stuff is loaded into a computer. So you can just play right off the computer, but we also have walls full of CDs. And so I use that a lot. I use stuff off the walls. I have a lot of extra stuff I've brought from the house. I've got about 1,500 CDs in my desk that's got all kinds of crazy stuff on there that, you know, is not randomly available in the computer, you know.
Right.
So I might play something off the computer and then play a bump off the computer, and then I'm playing something else off a CD, and then so I mean there's stuff going on the whole time, and then guests coming in, and then you're sitting chit-chatting with them off the air, and then you go on there and do the interview. And I mean, it's, you know, it's, it can be crazy, and then sometimes it has its kind of lulls, but very seldom.
Have you ever gotten in trouble for anything you did on D93 as far as on air?
I've had a couple of times I've played songs that management thought was a little heavy.
Okay.
And they've said stuff about that.
What, can I ask what songs?
Last time was about 3 years ago, I played Accept Balls to the Wall. And he thought that was a little, you know, he's like, eh, but we played it before. For some reason, that particular day, he didn't like hearing that song.
And anyway, he wasn't going balls to the wall on that.
He wasn't going balls to the wall. And you know what? That's cool. He's a head honcho. That's his prerogative. But that has happened very seldom. I did get fussed at one time down in Memphis because when I first started there, I was running the Howard Stern show. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was coming from New York, and we were recording it on DAT tapes.
Oh, wow.
And playing it off DAT tapes because it was New York Eastern, so it was kicking off at, 5 or 6 o'clock their time or whatever. Anyway, an hour later, we were playing it off these DAT tapes.
Right.
So one day I came out of the Howard Stern show and went into Kid Rock, American Badass.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager of the station came back there and she goes, Tommy, that's way too heavy for 9:30 in the morning. So, you know, you get those occasionally, but I'd say probably in 25 years, that's only happened 4 or 5 times. Yeah.
The occasional curse words
that happens every once in a while. Yeah. I don't think I've ever done that. I'm pretty sure I've never actually done that. I've had guests do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's been the occasional. I had a friend on one time, and he said da 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 da, threw him through the fucking windshield. And I think he saw immediately that my eyes were shooting lasers at him.
Right,
because I was like, I'm going to chop you in half when we turn this mic off.
Right.
And so he immediately tried to blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens occasionally, but it's very, very rare. I don't know. Who wants to get FCC knocking on your door? I don't want that. Those fines can be really high. Get a lot of trouble for that. Yeah.
Don't do it, then.
Don't do it, man. Yeah. Keep those words with your buddies.
Advice from Thomas Starrington
Jr. Don't say them in your
Jr.
grandma's house, and don't say them on the air.
Don't get fined by that.
Yeah. And don't make me give you the laser eyes, because I will give you the laser eyes. Yeah. There's nothing worse than getting the face that I just totally disappointed this dude. He's playing my song. He's plugging my event. He's giving me love out the ass. And then I'm up here throwing out, you know, four-letter words. Yeah, it's not cool. Yeah. It has rarely happened. Yeah.
Today will be the day you'll do
it. Today will be the day. Today I'll say motherfucker three times today.
My guest has been Thomas Starrington Jr.
That's right. Thank you.
DJ here at D93.
That's right.
And you are, if you want to tell the folks, for those that are unaware, Thomas Starrington Jr. is on what days of the week and what times, Thomas?
Monday through Friday between 2 and 7, and Saturday 2 to 7. So basically 2 to 7 Monday through Saturday.
Right.
You can catch me live on D93.
And you don't radio on the Sabbath.
Well, it's, you know, I got to have one day where I can just do my own thing. That's bingo day. Sunday's bingo day.
Thank you very much, sir.
Hey, thank you.